All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We've been mentioning it throughout the night. It is a big one. It is Wednesday night, tomorrow night, the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, Houston Dynamo, Inter Miami. A lot of excitement around this. Certainly an opportunity for the Houston Dynamo to continue to validate the turnaround here under Ben Olsen, Pat Onstad, and company. All right, great longtime friend, by the way. Spent one season. We're going to give the Houston connection here. Thomas Rongen. He played in the NASL, of course, with the great legendary Johan Cruyff, played a season down here in Houston when the game was trying to survive, and also led DC United to an MLS Cup, I believe, 1999. He is Thomas Rongen, not only a great friend of the show, personal great friend. Thomas, thanks for coming on.
Always, Glenn. Yes, I played for a lot of teams, but the Houston experience is always very, very cool, actually, when there was not much going on. The NASL just folded, and here are two oil guys keeping it somewhat together. So those were fun times. We were able to rock and roll a little bit, saw some concerts, played some football. It was all good. So good fun memories, Glenn. And yes, I consider you a friend as well. So thanks for having me on.
All right, through your lens.
By the way, Ben Olsen gave you lots of thumbs up. By the way, Ben played for me as a rookie in '99 when I won the championship. I just spoke to Ben. More like, you want to do a cup of coffee, yes or no, not tactics. And he actually said, Glenn Davis is the Dave Johnson of Houston. A lot of respect for him. That's Ben Olsen about Glenn Davis. There you go, Glenn.
If I'm mentioned in the same sentence as Dave Johnson, that's a good thing. He's a great man and a great commentator as well. All right, so just through your lens, Thomas, and it's a special one because you're down there, you're in Florida, you're seeing the training. Just how this whole messy thing, how it's all turned around, how the team came together so quickly. Just some thoughts.
I go all the way back to the Pele, and as you said, Johan Cruyff era, George Best, Beckenbauer, and then it could be as Gerd Müller, the old NASL days, when Pele signed actually in 75. That put soccer somewhat on the map. And we were on the tail end of that, obviously, with the Houston Dynamo, Glenn, as well. Then we have... you know, the introduction or the first World Cup in 94. MLS starts in 96, which was huge as well. You have the, David Beckham effect, which was big. You can even put like Freddie Adu in there, which was a one-off, but exciting times for MLS. Not for Freddie Adu necessarily. And now Messi. And I'm telling you, I knew it was big. I just didn't think it was going to be this big, both obviously on and off the field with Messi. They've been absolutely outstanding, outscoring opponents 40-20 across 15 matches. And even without Leo, who's not going to start this Wednesday, which is tomorrow, obviously, against the Houston Dynamo in the Open Cup. But they've scored 12, conceded 12 as well. A good result without Messi against Kansas City. A great result after Messi unfortunately came off against Toronto, a 4-0 drubbing. A great tie against Orlando without Alba, Busquets, and Messi as well. But you're missing arguably the best ever in the world. So that's been the big question mark for most. We know he's not starting. He will be part of the 18. You could see him featured in that second half if they need him, which means they're either going to be down or drawn. So interesting. But both teams have the capability in a one-off. And you and I played in one-off games, Glenn. It's kind of a different kind of mentality. And I know Ben Olsen, since he played for me. Ben will get this team up, which he always does, but even more so. And then, the X's and O's. Tata Martino may be a little bit more experienced in finals and his international career, knows MLS, and so far, with or without Messi, has like rolled out always the best starting 11. Also, systematically, he's changed between a 5-3-2 and a 4-3-3. I think it will be a 5-3-2 tomorrow. And then his in-game management has been spot on as well. So he's proven that he's one of the best in the world in Tata Martino. Ben Olsen looking at Houston as of late. You can take the Kansas City loss out of there. But before Kansas City, and by the way, that was 65% possession, but only one shot on target. But prior to that, a pretty darn good run. And listen, if you're fourth in the West, you're a pretty good team. So to me, it's a 50-50. And a lot of people without Messi are still favoring Inter Miami. But knowing Ben Olsen, I've seen his team now a little bit in my prep because I'm calling the game on radio. That's 4-2-3-1. He's got wide players in the attack. He's got fullbacks that can go overlap as well. It'd be very interesting seeing Glenn if he feels that if they can outpossess Miami, because that's their game, Miami, trying to maintain possession, play the half of the opponent, if he can maybe outpossess and take something out of this game or take the blueprint of Cincinnati that came here and not park the bus, but was very organized, disciplined through 90 minutes and almost could win it late for them as well. So he can look at this in different ways. To me, it's a fascinating tactical matchup right now with two teams that are on the up, so to speak, and deserve to be here, by the way.
Thomas Rongen joining us. He'll be on the radio call. Has done a tremendous amount of coaching, under-20 national team, assistant at World Cups, on and on. We could do a whole show on Thomas if we wanted to. You know, going back to the Houston Dynamo, this is the best possession-based Houston team I've ever seen. I mean, with Herrera, Coco Carrasquilla, Artur, instantly you become a good possession team. And I just don't see Ben Olsen parking the bus, going against the nature of what they've done. I think Herrera's influence as well is they're going to want to go after Miami. So I think you bring a great point up. Could be a major league battle of possession. If we look at the way Inter Miami was built and how quickly it happened, this was a lot more calculated than the public knows, don't you think? I mean, with Tata Martino being placed in there, getting Alba and Busquets there, plugging in Messi to all of this, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this was a two-year process to court not only Messi, but to also court Busquets and Alba, because those were positionally two places where they wanted to improve as well. You add, as soon as Tata comes, he gives them a list of five players, says, these are my three players in South America, because we have three under 22 positions available, international slots. You always look at Facundo Farias, who's a pretty good player. You look at Tomas Aviles, who's now a center back, and you get the Paraguayan, actually, who trained today and might be an X factor. He won't start in the third under 22 initiative. So they brought in really technically six players in that window. And Ben Olsen's done a good job as well in terms of Passi, although Franco not starting, but Escobar is there as well. Coco has been brilliant. Herrera, which, by the way, I was at the press conference today, and both Tata Martino, who coached them with the Mexican national team, but even more so Sergio Busquets, who played against Herrera when he played in Spain, obviously. They were actually gushing over the fact but he's just such a great competitor, such a great two-way player. And finally, under Ben Olsen, is really leading this team. The axis with Artur, Herrera, be it Coco or Bassi, whomever plays as the nine, probably maybe Baird as well, that's a pretty, pretty good axis and an important one as well. And you look at matchups, Coco versus maybe Busquets is a great one as well. Out wide, they get some traditional, you know, wingers there as well that can go at you 1v1. So this is going to be intriguing. And if Miami wins that possession battle or vice versa, I think in terms of transition for both teams, because I think the most vulnerable parts of both teams are their back four, with all due respect. You know, I mean, those are the weakest links, in my opinion, for Inter Miami. If they play a high line with Sergio Kristoff and Aviles, there's not a lot of speed there, and other teams have been able to take advantage of that. I've been able to get behind us. Drake Counter has stood on his head, you know, making big saves as well. And I think vice versa. If Houston pushes, I think in transition, a Facundo Farias, a Leo Campana, a Benja Kamanski, the young player, could hurt opponents as well. So fascinating tactical battle. Team versus team, and then within that, some duels that are going to be very important out wide, in particular with Yetlin on one side, regardless who is he going to face.
End of the day, somebody's got to take chances. The Dynamo have started the year off really struggling to score goals. Corey Baird got the first start there. Then they brought in the under 22 initiative, Aliyu Ibrahim. He didn't score goals, although he added a lot of other things. Went back to Baird. This is all after not retaining Sebas Ferreira, who's on loan, who led the team with 13 goals last year. Baird comes back, now gets hot, starts scoring goals. He's got seven. Which team do you think has the edge in the finishing category with strikers?
Well, Messi is already like third of the all-time list.
Pretending he's not playing.
Messi is already third of the all-time list. You're taking Messi out right now. He's your leading goal scorer already. Now you got to start looking at Leo Campana, who had back-to-back braces, by the way, involved, although he didn't get the assist in the goal against Orlando, where he plays Joseph in. So you got nine goals with Campana. You got six or seven with Joseph Martinez. That's right now where the goals are coming from. And the big question mark is Taylor a starter, or is it the young left wing back? Because I really think they're going to play out of a three. Might be a four. Tata has thrown some curveballs once in a while.
So let me stop you there, Thomas. Three or four. What's better against the Houston Dynamo team that's very narrow in your mind?
I think a three is best. And what he does with Yetlin or Taylor or Yetlin and the young left-field Noah Allen, obviously, is that he can build in a little security and transition, have some speedy players there as well to protect that back three a little bit. And saying that, if you're going to play narrow, which Inter Miami does as well, if you play out of a 3-5-2, no traditional wingers, it'll be very interesting to see that congested midfield, who can get maybe their fullbacks. And I know Escobar loves to go forward. I know that Dorsey loves to go forward as well. Can either team create two versus one on the flank? Again, you probably say with Busquets, with Arroyo, and then you look at Herrera, Atur, and whoever's floating underneath and becomes the 10 for Houston, that's also a very interesting battle there in midfield and very intriguing. They played once this year at Houston. Both teams have changed, though. You just talked about that, and also Inter Miami's drastically changed as well. So you can't look at, you go head-to-head over the last 3 or 4 years.
You're looking at that game in the beginning of the year. You're kidding yourself.
Exactly.
It's not
correct.
Even – it's like Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, that was when Kamal Miller was just signed for Inter Miami. And actually, I thought that night they had the better of the Dynamo in Houston, if my memory serves me correctly. Last thing before I go, just the buzz around this. Look, you played for the Fort Lauderdale Strikers in the NASL during the heyday down there with the likes of Muller and Kubias and Ray Hudson and all the big superstars down there. What's the buzz around it now? And how is South Florida taking this Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup final?
Just based on the cameras, the amount of people that showed up for practice and the press conference with Tata Martino and Busi, Sergio Busquets, unbelievable, packed house. And go back, pre-Messi, it was me, the play-by-play guy, Michelle Kaufman for the Herald.
Yeah.
Sun Sentinel, which is the local Fort Lauderdale paper. As you know, they still play Fort Lauderdale. They're starting to build in Miami, which that stadium will be done in 2025. So it was about four people. Now they have to turn people away. Hundreds have shown up, obviously. There's buses with tourists. Seriously, Glenn, coming to the stadium.
Awesome.
They let them out. They walk around, they take pictures at 3-4, just to take a picture of the stadium where Leo Messi is playing. We all know the stories about the increase of Apple with their subscriptions. We all know that Adidas goes, oh my God, this is unbelievable. But again, it surpassed everything that I've talked about, including friends of mine that are not soccer people that are walking around with Messi jerseys right now.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yep. Thomas, great stuff. By the way, Michelle was on the show and she made the comment how she was the lone reporter at practices and now she's got a lot of friends. So it's a great story. And for people awesome. Like her who've been covering the team so well over all the years, it's nice to see people, you know, grab a part of this and be a part of it. I mean, you as a commentator, I mean, this is historic for you as a commentator to go through this with Lionel Messi. So as always, you're the best buddy.
Yeah. And historic for you tomorrow calling the game and hope that Messi obviously plays as well, Glenn. So I urge people to listen to you, Glenn Davis, tomorrow on the radio. where can we find you?
We will be right here on ESPN 97.5. Thomas, as always, you're the best. Thank you very much. Have a great call on the game. Enjoy it. And thanks for visiting as always.
Love you, brother.
All right. Love you too. That's the one and only Thomas Rongen, every level of the sport in the United States. He's been a part of it. All right. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, a big thank you to Guillermo Lazo Romero. Also to our man, Andrew Carlson, Brian McDonald, all producing this show. And of course, you, the soccer fans, for tuning in. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast at Spotify, Apple, Google, or catch it right here at ESPN975.com. Until next Tuesday night, Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll see you next Tuesday.